I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Rosebud. Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 505, Dora and the Lost City of
Gold. The dredges of summer have reached us, gentlemen.
Well, you know, hope this makes everyone happy that hounded us and wanted this to be number
one. I think the one that wanted it's on the goddamn show.
I mean, that's what we did. Brands. We were like, look, if this son of a bitch wants us to go to this movie, we'll invite him to be on the episode.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if I didn't see it?
Yeah.
I'd have kicked you out of the group. I'd have banned you from the... There'd be a new Brad Hyen rule.
But yeah, back in the mid-400s, Brad Hyen, friend of the show, guest, and here on this episode, spearheaded this effort, did the calculations, and worked it out that around 500 Dora would be released and would be our episode. We, of course, went back and reviewed Man of Steel, but he's been whining about us not doing Dora ever since. Every post is like, but it's not Dora, it's not Dora. So I'm finally like, yeah, Brad, what are you doing on Sunday? Yep, you want to come record Dora? Yeah, you better say yes. And here we are. So everyone can be happy now. We're reviewing Dora. Brad is here to enjoy it. And that's
so happy.
You're welcome. So let's, just to keep our structure the same, let's go around the table. Everyone can introduce themselves.
I'm Brad.
Oh, don't start that.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And before we dig in, shameless plugs. Can you say shameless plugs? Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts where you can go rate, review, and subscribe. It helps us tremendously, which is why we always whine about it. And you can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. And, of course, our Patreon where for $5 a month you get bonus content and the joy of knowing that you've helped us out.
See this movie.
Yes. So there's all that. I guess Dora. First off... What'd you think? Let's start with you, Joe.
So, I didn't know what to think going into it.
Right.
This felt like the James Gunn Scooby-Doo mixed with National Treasure.
And I was thinking it reminded me a lot of the Brady Bunch movie.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they picked up the Brady Bunch and put them in what was then the present day.
Right.
But the Brady Bunch still behaved as if they were on a 70s sitcom.
Correct.
And I enjoyed this
I
movie.
I did also enjoy
the
movie.
It was really cute.
It was really smart.
Yep. Yeah.
It did all of the things that a kid would want. So my kid is just past Dora.
Right.
Like Dora, she was too young to even understand what Dora was.
And was then, it still on then?
I'm probably in reruns, but for the most part, she watched Peppa.
Right.
Like the Peppa Pig has been in my life for the last 10 years, so...
I only know Peppa Pig from memes.
Yeah. Oh, man. I got to tell you, though,
Peppa Pig.
The kid loved it.
I only know Peppa Pig from bidding on their live show and not getting it.
But you got Blippi.
Yeah, but I got Blippi from it, so that's
But not
good.
Blippi.
But not the real Blippi.
right.
But a licensed facsimile of Blippi.
He's like the Krusty the Clown of you know,
He
YouTube.
Heartily endorses this product or service. Yeah. Yes.
But, yeah, it reminded me a lot. Like that. If you've never seen that, it's not. James Gunn has a writing credit, but. He's not the main writer of that Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
No,
he
was.
He wrote one and two.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Then that makes sense because this reminded me
but
so much
of
that Scooby-Doo.
I think with that first Scooby-Doo, isn't there a version that was a lot?
I think his version is a lot darker,
like dirtier.
Yes,
and he wanted it to be.
Then they retooled it and cleaned it up.
He wanted it to be like a more adult Scooby-Doo, and it ended up just turning it into the kids.
But there's still like those moments that kind of shine through. Yeah.
But yeah, so that reminds, and I, like, the kid was like, I go, so she does like a thumbs, the upper thumbs down scale. Mm-hmm. And she was like, thumbs in the middle. And then as we were getting to the credits, she was like, it's more like this. So she's like right in the middle of like thumbs middle, thumbs up. She's harder to please as far as a movie goes than Tom or Brian, which is really
oh my God.
Yeah, she's hard. She's hardcore. So, the fact that, you know, I could hear her laugh every once in a while, and that's kind of my gauge with movies like this.
Right.
It's like if she's laughing, like, it's okay, it's working, because obviously the adult humor is going to work on me. Like the whole scene where she's looking at the camera and she's like, can you say
great.
This? And then
and their
Michael
family
Payne is like looking behind
like,
them.
Like, who is she talking to?
It's a phase. Yeah. She'll grow out of it. Like that, you know, that made me laugh.
Yeah.
This freaking movie.
Did you like it?
I saw this movie with Brad in a theater full of children.
Did you bring your kid?
About these little girls. There was a group of four. No, I didn't have them this weekend.
Oh.
There was a group of four little girls next to us and talking about they feel like they're starting to get hair on their legs. And the entire movie, they were just talking about, you know, and ooh, that's, he's lying.
Oh, man.
But this freaking movie. I absolutely loved this movie.
let's rewind, though. Katie was with us, too. I don't want to be two guys sitting
in
the theater.
Oh, no, 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 movie boyfriends. No.
I went and saw it by myself.
Literally.
I'm the 48-year-old on a weeknight by himself going to see Dora the Explorer.
I told Bella, I was like, look, I have to go see this movie for the show. Do you want to go? And she was like,
you're like, you're going.
I don't know. And I was like, are you sure you don't want to go?
This is how spoiled kids are.
I'm telling
you. Can
you
imagine when you were a child ever saying no to a trip to the movies?
Well, never. I went to go see Sleepless in Seattle.
Right.
Because I wanted to go to the movies.
It was at the movies.
Yeah. And I remember sitting there like, God, this movie sucks.
All kids want to do is watch YouTube now. It
I
doesn't
know.
Matter.
Oh, man. I could not. Yeah. When I was a kid, if I ever had the opportunity to get to I didn't care what I said, Sleepless in Seattle.
I remember
it was in theaters.
I remember when I was, I had to have been 9 or 10 based on when it came out. And in retrospect, it might have been a formative experience. I remember going when I was that age with my parents to see Arthur.
Oh, Jesus.
Arthur. Oh, my.
Now, I love Arthur.
I don't
He's
like
driving
Arthur.
While drunk.
Yeah. But that's like, how we got. Yeah. And then in the movie. Oh, I thought you were
Touché.
Talking about my dad. But I remember just going to see Arthur. And I remember, like, there's a line in there where.
Is Bo Derek in that?
No, was 10.
That was 10.
You got your Dudley Moore movies mixed up. But there's a scene in Arthur where he's like asking his butler to do all this stuff for him, and then he like folds up the paper, the butler does, and he's like, maybe when you're done in the bath, you'd like me to come in there and wash your for you. And like, when you're 10, you're just like, whoa, I think I know what a dick is, and I think that might have been dirty, which would be why he's washing it.
But yeah, she like that was, I was like, can we'll get ice cream afterwards. I don't know. Like, come on. Like, don't make me. I'm
I'll
super.
I'll watch Blippi with you.
Yeah, that's the 2-year-old. I'm really worried that I'm not that. Because she has passed Frozen. She's like, nah, I don't like it.
And wait till Frozen 2. I think she'll.
I don't.
All
think
her friends
so.
Will be talking
yeah,
about it.
Maybe.
I
think she'll
maybe.
Be wanting to
I know
see
that the 2-year-old is still all like, I. Again, Frozen has been a part of my life nonstop for the last 10 years. But yeah, so like she dug it. I was shocked at how good it was.
Yeah,
I was too. Did not expect this at all.
I think what they did with this movie was perfect. The way that it like deconstructed the Dora show.
Right.
Yeah.
It was self-aware. Yep. They knew exactly what they were doing. If they would have played it as a straight adaptation,
right.
It would have been lame.
Yeah.
The fact that she goes to the real world in modern time and then does the ridiculous things the show did and you're supposed to laugh at it and know it's goofy. It was
great about taking elements from the show and playing them for laughs, but it did it in such a good-natured, sweet way that it didn't. It was never mocking the show.
No, it
was teasing the show.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
like, but though these kids shows, you know, I think Blue's Clues kind of started it, where it was
which
like
is coming back apparently.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, I watched the hell out of that clip with Joe and Steve. Hell yeah, but I mean they're just on the first one. It's
oh,
gonna
okay,
be a new
okay.
guy, but I was.
cute.
Oh, they brought them all together?
To see them together.
Is the one guy still bald?
He's wearing a hat, so yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Is the Asian guy on there?
He's the new guy.
Yeah, he looks like he's like Filipino.
He's a Broadway
Indian
guy
or something.
Yeah. I think that counts as Asian. Well, isn't
it's a blanket statement?
Is it? Well, I don't know.
No, he didn't
I'm
call
bad
it
with
Oriental,
geography,
I guess. So
yeah.
That's good.
Oh, well, Asia is a place. I'm pretty sure the Filipino is Asian. Not to try to insult
him.
But
yeah, his name's
Russians.
Russian's
Asian?
Josh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was Stephen?
But
Joe
he's a Broadway guy.
Joe. Okay.
The new guy is a Broadway guy. Like, okay. So he's actually going to be able to sing songs and everything. I think it will be really entertaining.
Yeah. It looked good. But Blue's Clues did a lot of that, like, looking at the camera and, like, talking to the kid and wanting you to interact with them. I guess you could say Mr. Rogers started it. But they had, like, a different level of interactivity where they would want you to guess and play along and, you know. And then all the shows started to kind of steal that model. I feel like Dora was pretty quick into that world.
And that was all animated, right?
Yeah, it was entirely animated.
Okay.
But, so, I don't even know, without doing it this way, like, to just do a full feature film where she's
talking to the camera
yeah. And I don't know how that would play in a movie theater anyway, because I think a lot of the little kids answer.
There's a lot of answering in my movie.
I don't think we
had a whole
lot. I mean, we had a few kids, like younger kids.
Right.
Where, like, can you say
Delicioso?
Right. And they were just like, Delicioso.
The kids in our theater weren't interacting with it. They were just talking about their slumber party plans and, you know, the boys that they thought were cute.
But I did like the idea that she could have, like, the GoPro. Where, like,
well, she was doing a show.
She was doing a show.
She was doing a show.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this movie, I enjoyed it thoroughly. I laughed throughout. Was completely entertained. I like this movie better than the new Tomb Raider movie. I had way more fun in this movie than
I didn't like the Tomb Raider movie at all, though. But
the new Tomb Raider felt like the games, but it, like, I would say the same
but
thing.
But I had way more fun in it. Yeah. Tomb Raider, I think, is a very well-made video game movie for what that's worth, right. And I like those games. But this movie, I was just entertained from beginning to end, and it was the kind-hearted, fun nature of it and the self-referential. It was very smart. It was very clever. The kids were all funny. Like, it was just such an enjoyable movie, and I would have never expected. But for people that don't know, and I know I've mentioned before, but this was directed by James Bobbin.
That, I think, saved this movie.
He's the director of the two new Muppets movies, Muppets and Muppets Most Wanted.
Yeah.
But he also was in a comedy troupe with the guys from Flight of the Conchords,
Brett
and Jermaine, and Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
They're a four-person comedy troupe. They all ran together. Okay. So these guys that now have taken over and won, you know, Flight of the Conchords, and then obviously Jermaine Clement has done What We Do in the Shadows and all that.
Is he a part of the show? Is he involved?
He's like producer and
Well, they were all, were they all? Part of that movie, all four of them.
Mm-mm.
But Taika Waititi was.
Taika Waititi directed and starred.
Got it.
Yeah. But Jermaine Clement was co-director.
With Taika,
I believe. So he produces the show and everything. So, like, these guys have all done things that I really enjoy. Those four guys have all separately gone and done their own things. But those Muppet movies, I love those Muppet
Most
movies.
Wanted doesn't get the love that it should get.
Like, I think it's great.
Most Wanted, it's not as good as the first one.
The first one is really funny, but tells a really good, heartwarming story that completely wraps you in a perfect cocoon of nostalgia.
Yes.
And the second one is just really funny.
Yeah. Right.
And really, it's the same battle they fought when they rolled from the Muppet movie into Great Muppet Caper.
Oh, okay.
Which is like, it's a funny movie, but it just didn't hit you on the gut level the same way the Muppet movie did.
That show should have worked. I loved that show.
The Office style.
That show was so good.
I didn't watch it when it was on, so I was part of the problem. But I started I started watching it, and I'm like, I really like this.
Yeah,
and
it's really good.
Katie doesn't care for it, so that's why I haven't continued watching it. But I do want to.
I wonder, are they bringing that format back for the Disney Plus show?
No.
Oh, it's something completely different?
They're going to be making, like, shorts.
Oh,
like,
that could work, too.
Like, shorter things. They still just need to bring back the damn variety show. Quit overthinking it.
Yeah,
I know, right? So, but anyway, this, I think, when I was watching it, I could tell his influence.
Yeah.
James Bobbin's influence.
Absolutely.
He was a writer on Flight of the Conchords, one of the funniest shows of all time, in my opinion. I love that show and Britt and Jermaine. And so you can tell that his influence was on this movie, and those comedy beats and the witty self-referential stuff. Like, you could feel his style throughout it. And I mean, as soon as I saw his name attached to it, I knew there'd be something different for this kid's movie, that it would be more than your typical, and it really all paid off.
What he did with the Muppets is he did the same thing that James Gunn did with Scooby-Doo, where he took the that idea of the Muppets and the kids and all that stuff, but he also he they know that adults are going to be at these movies. So kind of like Shrek or even the first, even the Toy Story
movies.
Muppets
were always like that.
They were, but you know, you get like Kermit and Gonzo that the kids enjoy, but then they make jokes that the adults are like,
but yeah, but the Muppets, I mean, I would argue that the Muppets were probably the first children's property to do that.
I will not argue
Well, because you know Jim Henson didn't want to make a kid's show.
Right.
That's the interesting thing.
Do you follow the Twitter feed?
Yeah.
Like Muppet History?
Well, I do follow that, but there is a great Jim Henson special. It's like a 6-part special. It's all on YouTube, but basically it's like, I think it's 6 almost hour long segments. So it's like a 6-hour documentary. And I'm amazed this thing isn't like at a film festival or being sold to VOD. Like it's on a YouTube channel for free. It is incredible. And it starts with Jim Henson and creating the Muppets for Sesame Street, but not wanting to be a part of a kids program, making the Muppets for adults, being roped into, you know, people thinking Muppets were for kids.
I mean, because if the first episode of Saturday Night Live, the first season,
the Muppets are on there.
The
right?
Muppets are on there. Well, not the Muppets that we know.
A version of the Muppets.
And that was a mess. And that it goes through the SNL years. But it is amazing. It goes from Sesame Street, I think, is the first episode, or maybe it's the History of Jim and everything, but it's like Sesame Street, then Muppets, then I think SNL and the Muppet Show, and then it goes to Fraggle Rock, and it's just like all the major milestones of Jim Henson, and then of course the last years is the last episode, and it is just a heartbreaking, amazing journey. Like, you have to see it. It's Yesterworld TV. Yesterworld does a lot of theme parks that are closed down.
Is that part of that defunct?
Or is it that defunct TV? I'm sorry. You're right.
It's defunct because when you said the theme park, because I watched some of those like old theme parks or rides that are gone.
And Yesterworld's another one. Thank you for correcting me. It's Defunct Land.
Gotcha.
Defunct Land TV is what they call this. But Defunct Land usually does defunct theme parks. And that's how I found them. And then I'm like, oh, Muppets. I love Muppets. And I like this channel and theme parks. And they just did an incredible job. Like, it should be up there, you know, like Oscar nominated documentaries. I'm not kidding you. It is great. But watch that and you'll learn all about the history of the Muppets. But the Muppets was not supposed to be for kids.
Right.
Jim Henson was trying to make this adult TV show, but with Muppets, but because of them being on Sesame Street, he never got away. He didn't want to do Sesame Street because he's like, this will make people think Muppets are for kids.
Yeah.
And he kept trying to get away from it, and it just didn't always work.
And then they got
a lot of people that didn't watch the Muppets in real time, younger generations, probably don't even really remember, but the Muppet Show, the original classic show, didn't air during children's block programming. It was first run syndication, but like at least locally in St. Louis, it aired at like 6:30 at night. So it was right as you were rolling into prime time. I mean, and that's where it was designed to live. It was not intended to run with after school stuff or in the morning, the stuff kids would watch before they left for school. Like, it was always intended to be like live in this world where it was on against, you know, a rerun of MASH or Wheel of Fortune.
Was it half hour or an hour?
It was a half hour.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, fascinating. Check that out and you'll get the whole history. But so this guy is really good with that stuff. I mean, he did it with the Muppets. He's now done it with Dora. I don't know if he'll continue on the streak of this stuff.
I mean, to me, like, if he can do that, why not redo a Scooby-Doo?
Yeah.
Or why not redo, I don't know, the Banana Splits.
I have no idea, but Scooby would be perfect,
any of those, like the Flintstones or the Jetsons or any of that stuff that you can, you know. I need the Flintstones movie with John Goodman is great.
Yeah,
it's still like that.
I loved it when I was a kid.
That first one is very similar to these other movies.
It's okay, but like I feel like if this guy took on the Flintstones, you would get that smarter.
Yes.
Like it would take it to the next level.
I agree.
That's what they need is someone to really take it from being dumb and goofy, but you love it, to like funny and good. But,
right.
You know.
Right. So So this one opens up with Little Dora.
I was surprised because I'm like, I thought from the from pictures I've seen online that Dora was older. And I'm like, she's a little kid.
She's Dora.
I didn't realize it was a flashback.
Yeah, right.
Don't forget the fox.
Oh my god,
that cracked me up.
Okay, at that moment, I was like, I think I'm gonna like this movie. Yeah.
That set the tone for it.
Yeah,
from the whatever the organization for Fox, whatever.
No swiping.
No swiping.
Oh man,
it's a bad stereotype.
It's a hurtful stereotype.
So it does. It opens with younger Dora kind of running around and with Diego, and Was Diego always in the show, or was he added later?
I feel like Diego came later. I didn't watch the show. My kids, like I said, were more Blue's Clues, but I feel like Diego came a little
later.
Like, wasn't there at the outset.
It's like,
but
we need
I
a
could
boy
be wrong
for the show, so the boys will watch the show.
But I love the idea. So the first thing that they do, where you're like, oh my gosh, this little girl's driving in a Jeep in the jungle, and they're swinging on vines and all this. So I'm like, I'm like, this is crazy. And then you see they're pretending.
I thought that was brilliant.
It was brilliant to show it like that, because it's like, oh my gosh, so a little kid isn't really doing all this stuff. It's in their imagination and playing. That perfectly set it in the real world while having those fantastical elements.
Yes.
And I thought that was fantastic. The cuts to them actually in a little cardboard Jeep. And the mom's like, it's dinner time.
It's time to go. Whatever, and it's funny, I haven't seen Eva Longoria in forever. And I feel like I don't know if she walked away from acting, but I
she
feel
does
like
a lot of producing.
I see her name on all kinds of stuff
like,
as a producer.
I think she got very involved behind the scenes.
Okay. Stuff you wouldn't even expect. Remember, she produced something recently. Where
some action
like,
movie.
Yeah, where you're like, oh, Eva Longoria. Was it like the new Predator or something? It was
maybe
something weird.
Yeah,
where
I was like, who? That can't be the same one. The Real Housewives gal? Desperate Housewives.
Oh yeah, the other Ava Longoria.
Also, Diego was on a few episodes of Dora, but he had his own spinoff. Go Diego, go,
go, go, Diego, go.
Yeah,
So then you know the mom and dad, which is Michael Pena and Ava Longoria, are saying like, look, Diego's leaving, and Dora's kind of heartbroken. Like, it's her best friend, and you can like, to these kids' credit, like you can feel that they are friends.
And it's her cousin. I didn't know
that.
Cousin, you know, not having seen the show, I didn't know that. I thought they were just friends.
Right.
So it's like
Ava Longoria is a producer on John Wick.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
But yeah, so I do like where she cracks this candy bar and she says, "You take this half, I'll take my half, and we'll whatever." So Diego leaves, and then we flash forward to grown-up Dora. Not grown-up Dora, but like teenager Dora. And she's doing the same thing. Like, she's just kind of running around.
I'm guessing she's 16 or 17. She's in high school. I don't know what age exactly, but...
Yeah, I would say like a junior.
But high school age,
sophomore, junior in high school.
And I thought I took more like freshman or sophomore.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
They didn't deal with any like freshman dynamics, so I was... I guess it's hard to treat her like a new girl.
It's hard to say though because she's a brand new student.
Yeah,
like those dynamics would be very similar.
Unless Diego is older, I felt like Diego's like, look, man, this is high school. So it felt like Diego had already gone through some of this stuff.
Diego
is older.
I thought Diego was supposed to be older.
Okay, that could be. Which makes
more
sense.
They were in the same classes, though, so they should be in the same. Were?
Yeah. I mean, they're all in that English
maybe
class together.
Dumb.
That also is possible. But no, because the smart girl's in there, too.
Fair enough.
I took it as being older than freshmen. I really do. Even though it's not set.
I didn't think they were freshmen, especially because if they're in the same class, he's clearly already been to high school.
Exactly.
And that's the lay of the land.
Right.
Yeah.
So, that basically they have been on the lookout for... the lost city of gold, basically.
She goes through the airport. I'm Dora. Hi, we made it. Hi, I mean, I was cracking up. She's like being friendly, like in the little kids' TV show, to real people, and you get people side eyeing her.
Right.
It's that fish out of water. It's like they do an Enchanted with Amy Adams, where she's a cartoon character and she comes to the real world. Sometimes fish out of water doesn't play well. Like sometimes it's corny.
It's a little cheesy. Yeah.
But in this one, it was so spot on, and I couldn't help but to laugh every time she interacted with just random bystanders.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Like singing songs.
Yeah.
Like, you don't make you feel better? A song.
Yeah.
So the family is after the they're not treasure hunters, they're explorers.
Yes.
Which is
did they mention
very
that or
very
did
different
you,
very
they had
different
to make
things.
That clear.
Yes.
I wish they would have just been like, we're not Laura Croft.
We're not like Indiana Jones.
Yes, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you are in the third act.
Well, that's true, yeah. So they're after this lost city, and Dora just happens to stumble upon like the missing piece, basically, that will lead them to the city of gold. And then so the mom and dad kind of say, look, we're going. You're not. Because of your... immaturity, and like because Boots is in this movie as well, you have to call for Boots to come save, like when she fell down in that crevice, Boots had to go get the
mom. It took me a while to figure out the world we were in, because she should have basically been dead when she fell into that.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean, like, because this is real
she
world
felt like a cartoon character.
Yeah,
like she jumped halfway across and then pew. Yeah.
But I get the fantasticalness of the visuals and all that, but like, we're so in the real world with how they're setting this up, like you can explain everything from the TV show because of
did what you see who the voice of Swiper was?
Yeah, I had Benicio del Toro. Yeah. Boots is Machete.
I thought that's who it was. Yeah, okay.
But when she does the first jump that you're talking about, when she finds the golden monkey, which is like the key to unlock the city of gold, she jumps over this thing and falls halfway into this huge pit. I mean, yeah, a huge thing. And she should have basically been disabled, like, you know,
right, should have broken something,
but
at the
she's
very
just
least.
Like, go get mom and dad, and I'm thinking like, oh, it's gonna be funny, they're gonna take her to the hospital, she's gonna be in a cast. No, they just had to get her out of the pit.
Yeah, she's perfect.
The next scene she's walking around the house like, I'm sorry, but
totally
like,
fine.
So it sets up that even though this is very grounded as far as explaining the show in the real world, it also does have physics of a cartoon, so she can do adventurous stuff and not get hurt. And
So they kind of say like, look, we're gonna go, you're going to go stay with your aunt and uncle and you're going to see Diego again. And she was like,
and Bel Air.
Right. West Philadelphia.
Oh, it's, this is in Hollywood. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So she goes and I, you know, the scene of the airport where she's like, hi, I'm Dora.
Slides down the escalator. Yeah, the parents like, will we be able to recognize her? Like, yeah. I don't think that will be a problem.
Yeah,
she's
not
wearing
a problem.
The exact same outfit.
She looks
is when
same hair. Yeah.
Sliding down the
banister.
Well,
they even say like, oh, you kept the bangs.
Yeah. Yes, they did say that. You're right. So she goes and she meets, I guess that's her grandmother, I assume.
Yeah.
Okay. And they have like, you know, and Dora's just trying to get acclimated to life. She's starting school on Monday. I do the scene where her and Diego are talking and he's like, well, there's a lot of pink in this room. And she's like, yeah, I thought your mom thought you would like it. And then so she pulls out her half of the candy bar from 10 years ago.
Right.
covered in mold. And he goes, what's that? And she's like, it's the candy bar. He's like, I probably ate mine. Yeah.
I thought we'd mush them back together in like a really sweet moment.
And then the totally unexpected, and this is, I think, the humor. Yeah. This is the humor that just makes the movie so great. As you expect, that's the end of the scene.
No.
And it goes one beat longer with him leaving the room or whatever. She's in the room. Okay, it's going to cut. No, she eats the candy bar. It's amazing. And it's like you would never expect, especially in a movie like this, when you're not used to it yet, that would happen. And it just makes it that much better. Like
right.
It takes the movie to that. Gives you more to laugh at, gives it's ridiculous, but you know, it's just more fun for the adults to include little things like that.
Absolutely.
That are just crazy. Like as an adult, you're like, that's so disgusting.
Dude, so gross.
Like kids probably wouldn't even, I mean, they get it, but
even my kid was like, ew.
I mean they get it, but they don't understand how gross that is. Right. As an adult, you're like, as if something's 3 days old, you're not gonna eat it. 10 years, well,
3 days,
some
maybe.
Adults, sorry.
It depends on what it is. Yeah. But yeah, so then she doesn't feel comfortable sleeping in a bed. So she takes all her gear and jumps outside.
Another great scene.
Yeah, and she looks. Well, it's kind of heartbreaking, kind of. Like, she's not used to all of this noise and the.
There's police choppers.
Yeah,
choppers
right,
doing
right,
a chase.
Right. There's airplanes flying
she,
overhead.
She like, pulls her covers up and turns to the side. Yeah.
And then we start school on Monday. So she goes and she goes through the security.
Oh, my God. We go to school in this?
Yeah. Yeah. What is this? She goes to the security checkpoint and the security guard is just kind of like. He starts pulling things out of her bag, and he's like, what's this? And she's like, that's a flare. It's a flare. And he pulls it like, oh, look, it works. Then to like a hammock and like all kinds of stuff. And he's like, you can't bring any of this to school.
Yeah. And she holds up everybody from getting to class
on
time.
So she's like, already you know.
A nuisance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like this movie goes into gags. They're really good gags.
Don't forget the yo-yo.
Yeah. She's like, wait.
This is the most dangerous weapon I have in
you'll
here.
You'll let me keep the yo-yo? And he's like, yeah.
That's my most deadly weapon.
Oh, and I just, we'll get to it. I love that callback.
It's callback. It's coming back. Yeah. You just don't know how.
Chekhov's yo-yo.
Yeah, but then right, how right. they follow up the callback with the line they use. But,
right.
Yeah.
So she goes in and then she sees a girl who's like, you know, donate to help save the rainforest. And Dora's like, what happened to the rainforest?
Which one?
She goes, it's not on fire, but it's like,
it's getting destroyed.
She goes, which one?
And she lists them all off.
And she was just like, here, have a cupcake. Yeah. And just gives her on the house.
This is like the smart honor roll, valedictorian, whatever you want to say. This smart girl that does.
And that's clearly her role in the school.
Yes.
And doesn't like to be challenged.
Yes. Right. And I do like the line where she's like, if you're going to come with the queen, you better make sure you don't miss.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Dora's like,
there's nothing.
What?
She says there's nothing more dangerous than a wounded animal. And Dora goes,
actually,
there's a lot of things more dangerous. First of all, a healthy animal. I mean, this movie is so smart and so funny. Again, like, I love this. this movie. It's ridiculous, like, how good this movie is. It's,
yeah, it had no business being this good.
But, yeah, and I like how, so you have all these different archetypes that they start picking up, and it's really fun, the dynamic between all these kids. I thought all the kids were great. I thought all four of the kid actors were great. The Isabella Moner is
that Sammy?
No, this is Dora.
Oh, that's Dora.
And
Yeah.
I just have to say, she is so fantastic.
She is. Yep.
You have to realize how difficult it is to play a role like this and not come off as a huge cornball.
Right.
Yeah. She is so delightful and so likable in this role.
The optimism that she puts on in her
constant voice. Smiling,
yeah,
optimism.
There's one moment where she drops all of that, and I was like, whoa,
yeah.
Okay, because you hear the whole movie of her just, hi, you know?
Yeah, but it's like she eventually has to come to terms with some of the stuff she's dealing with. But as an actor, I mean, she is so talented at being likable and portraying these lines but fitting this character perfectly, and then also getting serious when it comes to some of the stuff that we're going to get into. And I just think that she's very talented.
She's very talented.
You're
going to
see
Absolutely.
This actor around.
Hopefully, yeah. And hopefully she doesn't get typecast. Like, that is one of the fears, I guess, is that she gets kind of pigeonholed into doing these kind of...
Oh, you know, I think she's fine. She's already was in one of those Sicario movies.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
She was in the Transformers The Last Knight. Not Bumblebee, but she was in... So she's been around. Oh, and she was the main daughter in Instant Family.
Oh,
she's
is that
the
her?
Adult. She's the adult kid.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's such a good movie.
Yeah.
That's the Mark Wahlberg one?
Yes.
And Ava Longoria?
No, Rose Byrne.
Oh, okay. All right.
But that is such a delightful movie. So refreshing.
So and funny.
Yeah.
Just legitimately laugh out loud funny.
But she was great in that. She was like, they go into in that movie that like teenagers have trouble getting adopted. Everyone wants a cute little kid, you know, to raise. And so the teenagers are the last ones. And so then Mark Wahlberg and Rose Byrne actually end up taking her on. And she's just like kind of the head of, she has two siblings.
They have two siblings. Yeah. They adopt three kids. And it's like 6, 10, and like 14 or something.
And so, you know, then they have to deal with a teenager and she's the head of that family. And it's just, she's delightful in that as well. So she's very, very good. And this movie just blew me away because I expected going into this a corny kids movie. You know, like kids will love it, but it's going to be whatever. And my wildest expectations were blown away by what this could have been.
Totally. I agree. So she goes to high school, and of course she sits in class, and the teacher's asking about Moby Dick and what it represents. And of course, Sammy, who's the smart girl that we see that getting out cupcakes, raises her hand, and then Dora's in the back, and she's like,
she raises hers,
and she's like, oh, thank God, somebody else.
Yeah.
And Dora gives this massive explanation about Moby Dick, and
this is typical fish out of water high school drama. Like, we've seen it before, but the difference is in how it's written. It's so well written. Like, her response could have been, it could have been come off as know it all, or it could have been not as funny, right?
Right.
When Dora spouts off the response, but the way it's written and delivered just makes it that much.
And of
course,
Sammy's just like, "You mother." Yeah. This is the scene where they go. She's in the bathroom, and she's like, "If you come with the queen, you better not miss."
Yeah.
She's like, "Nothing scarier than a wounded animal." And she's like, "Actually, like we said."
Yeah.
So Diego is also just kind of like, like, I don't want to be here. Like, I don't want to. He's like, I got enough crap I got to put up with that I don't need to be like associating with you, the nerd or whatever.
Yeah, Diego being taken out of the jungle, he's lost all that innocence and the fun and exploration that Dora grew up with over the past decade. And so now he just wants to be a cool high school kid. And I thought that was interesting to show that dynamic because they both grew up being the same type of explorer, adventurous person.
Sure.
And it shows you being, you know, taken out of the jungle and being put into Hollywood and how that would affect you. I was like, I would have never expected that.
Well, she had no one to grow up with. She had no socialization. So like she never stopped playing her pretend
games.
Makes sense. Right.
I just would have never expected from this being a Nickelodeon movie and a Dora movie. Like, it's not like this is a,
what is Paramount Players?
It must be like their Fox Searchlight, I would guess.
Okay.
I would have never have expected, since it isn't a satire, you know, they're not making fun of the movie. They're adapting it in a very smart way. So I would not have expected them to take Diego and turn him into a not fun, like just want to be cool and ignoring. So I thought those small risks that they took.
But I still think they've played Diego like he wasn't a jerk.
No.
He was just a normal kid that was like, look, this stuff doesn't work here.
Right. Right.
You got to grow up and be like these people.
Totally. I mean, it's not that he was a jerk, but it's like, I guess it felt off brand.
Yeah.
And the fact that the TV show's not on, I guess that's helpful.
Sure.
Because if it were still on, I don't think they would do anything to, like, they could play with this.
Right.
This property more because they're not trying to sell Diego merchandise because this I know, of course, he comes around, but it just turns him into a different person than the fun-loving, let's explore.
Right.
You know, and so I was but pleasantly surprised with how they had the character of Diego. And, you know, it was like the go-between between the Dora fun and these kids who, like the Sammy, like she wants nothing to do with anything Dora's
spouting.
Right.
Well, she's also like hyper-focused on like, I got to get, you know, they don't say that, but it's obvious like that.
She's Tracy Flick.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. She's very much Tracy Flick. But so then we're also introduced to kind of like the nerdy kid who immediately falls in love with Dora without saying that he falls in love with Dora.
Randy?
Yeah. Randy.
I thought he was fantastic.
I just love the running gag of like classic us.
Yeah.
That kid was so funny.
I do. So he's wearing like a constellation shirt and it says like, you are here. And Dora's like, actually, we're closer to, and she grabs
like
a marker.
Would you like me to correct that for
you? And she circles it and she's like, we're actually here. And she's like, okay, bye. And he's like, and Diego's like, don't talk to that kid. And she was like, why not? And then like as they're walking away in the background, you see the bullies kind of like zombies, like swarm him.
Oh, I wanted her to do something. I really thought she was going to defend him. Like being an awesome explorer. I really thought she was going to then turn around and go do something.
Diego kind of like made her walk away.
Well, no, totally. She was like watching as she was being pulled away, but I wanted her to go confront them for him. But anyway.
So yeah. So, it's becoming more and more apparent. Like, and there are some time jumps that they don't tell you are time jumps. Where all of a sudden we're like 3 weeks in.
Well, they kind of do a montage.
Where
different days, different outfits. They go forward in time.
I mean, it might not be that clear, but yeah, she's getting calls from her parents about their coordinates and stuff.
That's
right. Because they're traveling.
And then the parents stop answering.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it was. And how do we get to the? They go to the dance. Well, they go to the dance and dress up as your favorite star.
I knew immediately she is going to dress up as an actual star.
Yeah, she dresses up as the sun. But you've also seen like nondescript celebrity impersonators and stuff like that. Yeah. So she gets out there and starts dancing.
Oh, Randy's like, yeah, star.
Yeah, she's like, sun, I dig it.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you're hydrogen, the basis of all stars. Yeah. She was like,
so they both
did
the same kind of nerdy joke.
So of course she gets kind of ridiculed. She doesn't realize she's getting ridiculed.
The dances. Oh my gosh, so
and she's
funny.
Like, Diego, you know this one? And he was like, God damn it.
I was cracking up with the elephant. The peacock was the first one. And I love that. I mean, and again, it never comes off as corny. I mean, what she's doing is ridiculous and would be ridiculous in the real world. But in this universe, as you watch it, you're like, God, she's so confident and so herself, which is the point of this movie and the point of this character, that you can't help but to admire it. Dora is exactly who she is, and she's so happy and
for as cartoony as it is, she's also completely authentic.
Yes and exactly. And so that dance scene really, I think, wins you over once again, because it would look ridiculous, but she's owning it and she's having fun, and then you feel so bad for her,
right?
You know, when she's getting ridiculed, the dumb jocks are like,
Dorka,
and then Disco Dorka.
Dorka.
Did anything ever happen with that guy? Because he
danced at the end, so they got him on board.
Just killed him with kindness.
Sometimes that's what you got to do. So they go on this field trip where they have to do the scavenger hunt. And, of course, it's a four-person team, and everybody's trying to pair off. But, of course, we get Randy and Dora and Diego and Sammy end up having to be a team together. And she kind of like the deal is she has to find like the oldest artifact in the museum. And Dora's like, yeah, but there's that Egyptian exhibit. So that has to be the oldest thing.
But it's not open yet.
So then she kind of gets approached by a curator or maybe like, you know, whatever. And she's like, I can get you down here if you can take a look at it. And she was like, OK. And Dora, of course, just innocent, doesn't think anything like that doesn't seem creepy at all.
It didn't come off that creepy, but I wasn't surprised when it turned out to be a trap.
It didn't come off creepy. The adult in me was like, gosh, she's going to lose her job.
That's how I took it, too. I was like, she's being really kind. Yes. She did overhear the whole, here's what the assignment is. Find the oldest artifact you can. Bonus points for the oldest.
Mm. But you know what's great, though, is this movie, once again, is smart enough where, to me, that would have taken me out of it until you find out what's happening.
Right.
And it is an employee doing something irresponsible. It is one of the bad guys looking for the treasure.
Right.
And so it,
and they know who she is.
Perfectly explained why they did that, because that would be like a small gripe of mine. Like, oh, come on. In the real world, someone's not going to just let a kid down here. But
into the special, special spot. Yeah.
So all the kids wander down there.
And then they are confronted by Jango Fett.
Yeah. and Aquaman's dad.
Is it Aquaman's dad?
It's Aquaman's dad.
Oh, okay. So then they get kidnapped, basically. Not basically. They get kidnapped.
Yeah. They're kids.
They're kids, and
they're abducted. They're literally kidnapped.
And they take a nap because they throw a nap grenade.
Right.
On every, on every level.
That is the perfect
kidnapped.
Word.
Yes. Yes. So they wake up, and they're on an airplane. I do like the line from the movie where she's like, of course, you know, Dora brings out this giant, but, you know, knife. She's like, of course Dora brought a knife to the field trip. So they try to get out, and they realize that they have landed somewhere in the jungle. And we see, like,
there's
a mercenary. Yeah, Peru, maybe. A mercenary saw us. I think they saw us, and they come running over, and then here comes this dude who's like, no, I'm a friend of your parents. Like, I got to get you out of here. And they were like, okay. And then they get away, and they take off into the jungle. And this is where all of, like, this insanity happens. Like, it's... Dora is just trying to, she's trying to piece together like where her parents are and trying to figure that out.
This guy, is it Alejandro? He says that the parents mailed him their journal with all their investigative findings, their research
before they went off
a week before they disappeared to see if he could help them. His story.
Yeah. Right. So they've got the Michael Pena's
roadmap.
Yeah. So they're trying to figure this out. They find little symbols, like circle symbols.
That's my family's symbol. It's a red circle. So funny.
We laughed every time.
Yeah,
one was rushed.
Yeah, they see another one, and the kid's like, "Oh, it's one of those red oval looking shapes or whatever." And it's like, it's a red circle. Yeah.
So they're trying to run through the desert, or not the desert, the jungle, and trying to figure this out.
And meanwhile, they're being chased by the bad guys.
The mercenaries, that abducted them. Boots makes his return. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, like, there's a scene where Boots is kind of like the center point, and they start playing "These Boots Are Made for Walking," but it's in Spanish.
Yeah.
And I looked at Bella, and I was like, do you know what the name of the song is? And she was like, no. I go, it's called "These Boots Are Made for Walking." And she goes, his name is Boots. And I was like, right.
Yes, that's
why they're playing the song. Yes. And she was like, oh, okay. I'm like, actually, it's from Kill Bill, but never mind.
Well, yeah, I think it's from more movies than Kill Bill.
Was it Kill Bill or was it?
I don't think
it was
Kill Bill.
It was Austin Powers.
Yeah, I just watched those, and I don't remember.
What was the Nancy Sinatra song?
Was that "I Shot You Down"?
That's right. Yeah.
Bang, bang.
There's really nothing in these moments in the jungle.
It's just goofy. Dora, goofy stuff. You know, they introduced some of the poop humor, like the
Sammy. That joke worked.
It's so
funny. I did not think that joke was going to work.
Yeah, I was like, where are we going?
But it was really good. I've got to go do something. Like, and you have to take a poo.
Yeah, and she was like, no, I d-
well,
fine.
Of course,
it's been 2 days.
I haven't pooped in 48 hours.
Yeah. And so she takes her, we'll sing a song. And she takes a collapsible shovel out of her backpack.
She goes,
and
what's
starts
that?
Singing a poo song while she's digging.
She goes, and it's the poo shovel.
So good.
And then they have to like take off while she's mid poo.
Oh my God.
And they run by her. She's like,
so
no,
you know what that means though, don't you?
No.
Wiper, no wiping.
No, no wiping.
How is that joke not in this movie?
Given all the jokes that are in this movie, that's a good point. No wiping. Yeah. Oh, man.
I know. Oh, that does kind of skeeve you out. You're like, what point was she at in it? And she just had to pull her pants up.
But I do like that she's sitting there singing the song like while she's taking her time. And
because that is a perfect metaphor for this movie. Because you're like, Dora the Explorer, I'm not going to like this movie. And then she starts singing her songs and doing her stuff, and you're there singing along with her.
This movie, as much as it's well written, it coasts entirely on the charm of Dora.
Yeah, I agree. And she delivers every single time.
All right, you were singing along with her.
I was not singing along with her.
You still sing that song when you poo, and you know it.
Yeah. So,
I think I remember the words of that song.
They're being chased by darts. You don't know who it is yet, but there's like arrows.
Yeah. And
they have a symbol, so they've been tracking through their adventures. This symbol keeps coming up,
right?
And it's the symbol of, we find out, the protectors of this treasure.
Like, they're Mayan symbols. Yeah.
It's Incan.
Yeah. So they're rolling. They get stuck in this log, and they roll down the log. And this Bella's like, I would die. That's the scariest thing I've seen so far. So they fall into like, is this where they fall into the quicksand?
That comes up soon.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah.
They get to the quicksand. Of course, they're like walking and they're making fart sounds. They're like, look, this is hilarious.
I thought it was a bit much. Like in these, I know it's not catered to me or whatever, but whenever they poo and fart jokes show up in these movies, like House with the Clock in the Walls earlier this year, whatever, it just turns me off. I mean, I really liked the poo scene with the poo song. I thought they did that well, but then when they got to the dancing in the quicksand and making fart noises, I'm like, this is too much.
You know what? I saw what that humor, who that was for.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's, if they need to throw in some poo jokes and fart jokes for the, you know, 5 to 10 year olds,
I guess.
And they're throwing enough at me. Besides that, I can.
Like, I don't hate it anyway. It's just one of those things where I was like, I don't think I needed
it's
that.
Almost like, it's almost like,
definitely not. That's the straight kid movie element.
Right, yeah.
I say that, and then I think of the scene in Dumb and Dumber or the scene in Ace Ventura.
But you were a kid when you watched those.
Yeah. Was I? Yeah. Well, was I a teenager?
Well, whatever. You were.
I was in college when Ace Ventura came.
And that was what, 94? 93?
I was 7.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so that would have been
so
right.
I was like 14.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's not right.
I don't think you had matured when that.
I still haven't matured.
Yes. So
I see
to
your
my
point.
You were not fully matured at that age. So you,
you were even less fully.
Yeah,
matured.
Sure. So they're, you know, they're the quicksand is farting, but then they quickly realize that they are in quicksand.
Yeah.
And Dora, I get like she's the survivalist, so she's like, okay, what you need to do is lay flat on your back and get enough space between your feet and water in the sand so that you can kind of like push yourself up. And I was like, I've never heard of this in my life. I've never had to encounter quicksand, but
I've heard it in other movies though. Like they've said that where the more you struggle, the more it sinks.
That
it must
is
be
true.
A thing because people, I've heard that before.
And Randy references Pitfall, which I really
liked. I did.
Yeah.
He's like, it's a great game. Yeah. So they all kind of pull themselves out except for, the
Alejandro.
The Alejandro, who is sinking faster, and then all of a sudden here come two scorpions and are just like, she's like, oh my god, they're two males,
oh
they're fighting on his head, and she and no. Diego goes, I don't think they're fighting. And he's like,
oh that's
no.
a female.
This brings up a point that I forgot to mention because I love this movie so much. The CG is very bad.
It's very bad
movie.
Yes,
it's that's awful. The one
it's
downfall.
Really bad,
and the movie's so good that it overcomes it, and once I understood that it was going to be like that, it was just so good that most of it, the good stuff's about the writing.
Right.
And so you don't really care. But every time CG comes on, whether it's the scorpions,
the frog,
or boots, or the flowers,
or the fox,
or the fox, anytime CG happens,
he jingles and, every time he steps he takes.
And I won't say it's bad CG, as in if this was a CG movie, like it's detailed, it looks good for a CG, but it does not blend with
it. Does
live
it's
action.
Very. Yeah. And but part of me also wonders is if it's deliberate because it's based on an animated property, because the CG is also very cartoony.
But
you're right, it doesn't blend at all.
I don't think
my guess is that's probably what they were telling themselves to justify.
I think they used a CG house that was not as good, and again, like the details and everything weren't the problem. If this were all animated, it would have been fine, but it just stuck out, the colors, the contrast, the lighting, and so that is something that generally bothers me in a movie, and I will say it's the weakest point of this movie, but it doesn't ruin it.
It doesn't
because
ruin it at
it's
all.
So strong. Yeah. But yeah, that's all I was going to say is that every time something came on screen,
the best,
like,
the best thing that looked at was boots. Like boots compared to the Swiper and the Scorpions, like boots and the snake that she's wearing around her neck at one point.
It's so jarring.
The snake, that was probably
was
the
like,
worst
why
for
couldn't
me.
They just put a
real snake?
People hold snakes. Like, why couldn't they?
It's all
fun
and games. It chokes out your main star.
Yeah, well, but they have pretty, you know, Britney Spears wasn't a freaking snake tamer.
Well,
that's a different kind of snake. She's tamed an anaconda or two
anyway,
in her time.
So this guy, it's like he's a gone. I'm like, oh my god, they're like killing this guy.
Yeah,
they can't
right,
do
right.
that. But so they.
So it's very. What was the horse in Neverending Story? Which is the scene that has scarred me for my entire the scene where Atreyu is trying to pull the Artek, I think. Like trying to, have you ever seen, you know what I'm talking about?
Save the horse.
Are you
from
serious
the
right now?
Oh, yeah.
So there's a scene in the Neverending Story where Atreyu, who's like the kid in the book, is making his way through like the scary part of the swamp, and his horse starts to sink, and the horse kind of like pushes Atreyu out, but sacrifices himself at the same time. So there's like a it has to be at least 2 to 3 minutes of Atreyu trying to pull the horse, and the horse is just sinking and sinking and sinking and sinking, and Atreyu's pulling and screaming and crying as this horse dies on screen. Yeah. Like, they don't cut away from this horse sinking into... seriously, go watch The Running Story, because it's fantastic.
I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
But, and that didn't affect you? You don't remember that scene?
I remember the scene in Blazing Saddles when they saved the mine cart.
Nope.
The hand cart.
But go watch that. Just like picture 7 or 8 year olds going into that movie blind and then watching that scene.
That line that they say in this was very reminiscent of the Blazing Saddles, where not Bart, but the other guy's like, is the world getting bigger? Suddenly getting bigger? They say something. And we're like, oh, is the
are
world
the walls getting higher?
Yeah, see? Yeah. And so it instantly recalls
that. So yeah. The teacher, their adult companion, like, sinks, and then they come around the side, and all of a sudden you see his feet,
and they pull
like
him
dangling
out.
At the bottom. They pull him out. So,
but this
okay.
is the first big hint, if you hadn't figured it out yet. This is the first big hint where he's like, I'm a bad guy, because he's actually like reflecting on his life, and he almost died. And he's like, no, I'm a bad guy. Where you're like, oh, well, he's telling you that because it surely will come out later.
Right. He's like, Dora's like, no, you're
Kevin okay. called it a half an hour before
I
that.
Will have, since Brad said it, I'm like, but when he pulls them out of the crate in the very beginning and they run away, I'm like,
that's when they were in the cornfield.
Yeah, I'm like, he's in on it.
He's the bad guy. So they get away and they find. This is where we find the parents. Like
they find the old lady first.
The old lady. They send the Sammy and Randy kind of are able to go onto one path to get back home. The other three are going to go find the parents.
Like, this old lady wanted as many people to go as possible,
right.
So you know that she's trying to lead people away.
So when
this.
She goes to lead Randy and Sammy to the boat, we see the same symbol on her arm that was on
the arrows.
Yeah. So they run back. They do a jungle puzzle, because Randy's all about jungle puzzles.
Well, not yet. They're
in the water. They're in the thing with the levers.
Okay.
The aqueduct is what dumps them out to the parents.
No, the spore fields is before that.
What's the spore?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, it is. Yeah. They're like, don't touch anything.
Yeah.
They're those big, giant, like...
The biggest laugh of the movie for me was the spore fields.
So okay, well, tell us what happened. I just can't remember.
So when they find out at the water, like, oh, we got to go back, because she told them to go that way. And then suddenly we're at the scene where it's Dora, Diego, and Alejandro walking through these big flowers, not to touch anything.
Oh, yeah.
And, Sammy and Randy don't catch up to him yet, but they're starting to get through, and you can see they're maneuvering like entrapment, like the laser grid.
Yeah,
all
right.
That,
right.
And then
all right. Well, that was a different.
What?
Huh? No, I mean, you're right. I'm just thinking.
It was a different kind of
thing. Of Catherine Zeta-Jones
in a leather catsuit.
Yeah.
Right?
Ooh, no.
Not quite like it, but they're maneuvering to not
what
touch
she
anything.
In? I thought she was in.
She's in like skin tight, not a catsuit.
Something very tight.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. A skin tight, not catsuit. I apologize.
We know
I
what
retract.
Kevin's search history looks like. Can we just look up extra pictures of Catwoman?
Sure, why not?
But eventually... Alejandro cheers because he makes it through a really tight crevice and hits a flower, and they all open up and all these spores, and they're worried about breathing it in.
Oh, this was fantastic. Oh, the spore field. I'm like, the sport field? What is
this?
Oh,
yeah,
spores.
I see what you're
saying.
Yeah,
okay,
sorry.
Got it.
And
this was hilarious.
Diego, Dora turns around and sees Diego, but his head is the animated head from the show.
He goes, don't worry. If this was poisonous, we'd be dead already.
Yeah.
What a great way to work in
Amazing.
And pay homage to the cartoon.
As soon as I saw his head on there, I busted. That was the biggest laugh for
and
me.
I normally hate like drug hallucination scenes in movies, but this one was funny.
This was so funny.
It's funny. That's two good drug hallucination scenes this year, because the other one was Booksmart.
Yeah.
Oh,
when they think
they're
Barbie dolls.
Yeah, right.
But this was so funny, and it was a way to pay homage, and the map is talking, the backpack's talking.
The mountain winks at
you. Oh, at the end, it was so funny, and it's a way for kids to see what they're used to, right? Because they came to see Dora, and they're used to the cartoon, so they get to see that element, but then also the adults are like, this is crazy, they're tripping.
Alejandro freaks out and rips off his clothes.
I don't need these anymore!
And again, for a kid's movie, it's like, that's that pushing the envelope. That's the James Bobbin. You know, like, for the adults, because I mean, that's a little risque and you don't see anything, but still, in a kid's movie, for someone to strip down and run into
the
jungle,
so they wake up to Sammy and Randy have come back.
Yes.
They get to the aqueduct, and they Randy is all about jungle games, but it turns out this is not a
jungle puzzles.
This is not a puzzle. Like, it just happens to be a...
But these felt like the... You played the Uncharted games.
Yeah,
the, the jungle puzzles throughout the, the movie felt
and,
so much like those
video
games.
And Tomb Raider, too.
Tomb Raider as well,
that's why I think... I don't know if they did it on purpose or if it's a missed opportunity, but when he said, like, the movies, I'm like, hell no, much more relevant for especially this day and age would be
the
games.
Video games,
Uncharted, there's four of them. Tomb Raider, there's unlimited of them. Like kids know jungle puzzles from video games.
Right.
And for him, especially even mentioning Pitfall, to not mention the video games, I thought was a mistake. Like, I don't, I mean, even my age, like, I'm 32, but I don't remember many movies dealing with this. Like, it's all from video games for me. Yeah. So I just think
that Indiana Jones was puzzles.
The stuff they were doing with levers and everything,
and
that's Tomb Raider.
Light manipulation
and
all that.
That's all video games. Yeah. So I would like to know if they didn't want to get in trouble for, like...
Well, they didn't have to say any specific...
I know, you when you watch this, especially as gamers, you're thinking Uncharted, Tomb Raider, and I don't know...
But I guess the audience this is directed to like aren't... old enough to be playing Tomb Raider and Uncharted,
I always say that.
Or games, though. Or movies, they're not watching.
But they're probably not watching Indiana Jones.
Anyway, it just, I thought it was interesting because these are directly, as you said, like these are Uncharted Tomb Raider puzzles.
Right. So they accidentally set off the water in this one, so they have to figure out a way to. There's the running gag is that Randy.
Can hold his breath
for 7 minutes because his parents just dropped him off at a pool.
And the way he words it, raise your hand if anyone here can hold your breath for over 7 minutes. I can't see, but I'm presuming I'm the only one raising my hand. It's just, it's so cleverly written, whereas most people, like in any other movie, they just be like, I can do it. I can hold my breath for 7 minutes.
Right.
But the character is so funny, the way he explains everything.
So he swims down. At this point, this chamber is filling with water, and it's not a puzzle, but it's like the Incans developed like sewer systems, basically.
It's aqueducts.
Yeah. It's aqueducts
to deliver water.
So it's not like it's a puzzle. It's just one of the things that have been dormant. So he has to swim down. He hits the lever and it sucks all the water out and sucks everybody out. And they shoot them through like a sewer, basically. And this is where you see
a water slide.
Yeah, exactly. We see Dora's parents, and they see each other for the first time. And they're like, oh, Alejandro said that you gave him his book. And Michael Pena's like, nope.
I like the introduction of all the kids, though, where it's like, oh, hi, Diego. And then each kid walks up, oh, hi, Mr. and Mrs. whatever. And it's like, who are these people? Oh, these are my classmates.
These are my friends.
She said friends, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it was like a touching
friends
moment.
Friends from school.
So Alejandro, this is the reveal that Alejandro had stolen the book, and he's the leader of the mercenaries. And I do like where he's like, and I've spent the last... 48 hours with these stupid kids, and Michael Pena's like, hey, well, I don't know those other two, but these two are fine. So we find, you know, they get kidnapped.
And he says, again, I'm over here on the south side of the island or whatever, and the people immediately
So they are, we find out that basically Dora, who is still very optimistic, she's like, we'll just give them the gold and they'll cut us loose. They'll let us go. And so Boots, this is where we get the Boots theme song, you know, so he's untying everybody. And then this is where we get the reveal of the yo-yo.
Oh, God, the monkey facts. This is earlier, though.
Oh,
but
monkey
the
facts
guy's
are great.
Gonna be talking about monkeys, and the Jango Fett guy says something like, shut up,
you're scared of monkeys, but blah, blah, blah. He's like, I'm not scared of
monkeys.
He's
like, that's just a monkey fact.
Yeah.
So good.
But Dora attacks this guy with a yo-yo, and this is where we get the reveal that the yo-yo is the... Yeah.
The deadly
and the guy
weapon.
Comes over and he's like, he's been knocked out by a yo-yo.
He's
and he
like,
goes, again?
He got yo-yoed.
Again? And I thought that was so funny with no explanation, but the fact that this guy has been knocked out by a yo-yo.
By a yo-yo.
And
more than
like,
once.
And it's not like by Dora. It's like this guy has a history of being
attacked
by
yo-yos.
So great.
So this is where Dora kind of comes. Like this is the part that you're talking about where she realizes that maybe she got her parents in the situation and she realizes that they're going to kill everybody.
Yeah.
And this is I did not know what was going to, I just think like, so when we're looking at Boots, like Boots is just non-expressive, like just listening
this
to Dora.
This was so weird when he was just staring there.
Just
like,
staring
what
at it. And then all of a sudden he starts talking and it's Machete. It's Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
And everybody comes like running, you know, he gives the inspirational speech. Everybody comes running over and they're like, what are you doing? She's like, you heard that, right?
And he's like,
yeah. And they're just like, what? It's like, no, but you
and it
we
never comes
we,
back.
She goes,
again.
We heard you talking to Boots, and she was like, no, 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 he was talking to me. And they were just like, Okay, moving forward.
I love it. Never comes back again.
No, it's, never. Yeah. So they figure out, they beat the bad guys. So they find the lost city, basically. This is the jungle puzzle where they're
Swiper's
doing...
guarding, and then they bring the frog that we saw earlier, and it ends up touching Swiper.
Well,
and
it touches
one of the
Django
guards.
First.
Okay.
And then it hops on Swiper's face, and he goes, I do like where he goes, oh, man.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But this is another one of those parts that I was questioning, because I'm like, oh, it's a deadly poisonous frog, and it touches them, and
it
they touched sleep.
A little bit.
Well,
it touched a little bit. Yeah.
But they were talking about how poisonous this thing was. And I'm like, oh, they went to sleep. Oh, okay, kids movie.
Right, yeah. Okay. So they figure out the jungle puzzle with constellations and what they actually mean. Again, funny line where he's like, typical us.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Trying to figure out constellations.
One thing I was trying to find out in the middle of the puzzle, and they only showed the door a few times, but they had to figure out which levers to use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it seemed like there was only four levers to use in the first place.
I think Enchantimal had a lever by it.
Yeah, but the four that they used were the four by the door. Then they had to figure out between the constellations, there were 8 or 12 that lit up.
Mm-hmm.
But there was only we only ever saw four on the
they
screen.
Have been more levers that we just didn't take.
I just thought it was kind of funny, but
these four that are right in front of us.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
So then it's going into the teamwork, and they have to pull them at the same time, and
right.
They put their trust in that, and they all pull them, and the door opens up. It's all been covered by vines, so it's been.
I thought this thought the city looked pretty good. As far as CG go, we're just the CG was kind of garbage, but the
city was fine. Yeah, I didn't have a problem with that.
I guess it's really more the CG characters.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Pretty bad. Rough.
Yeah. So they go in. They're trying to another jungle puzzle. They're trying to figure this out, and they find another monkey, golden monkey. Thing where you have to put in what you desire most. Mm. And they're this is where Alejandro shows back up. He's like, ha ha, I figured it out. So he takes a one piece. He's like, what the Incans desired most was gold.
It was the closest they could get to the sun.
Right. So he takes this little gold coin and puts it in the
offering
cup, and it flips it back, and
the floor starts falling apart.
She says, she's like, I knew you were following us. You're not you may be smarter than us, but I knew you'd be here. I knew you'd do that. That's why we're standing here and you're standing over there.
And then it looks like he falls to his death in a huge fire pit. We're like, oh my God. They don't show it, but they show flames coming out of the pit.
He's like a puff of smoke.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's an old school Disney ending right there.
And you hear him go, I'm still alive.
That's a total awesome powers.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm just very badly burned. Yeah. I'm still but he's hanging there.
Right, he's hanging there. And so the old lady, this is where Dora and the Dora's parents show back up. The old lady shows back up, and
it's a whole army of the whole guardians.
Yeah. Yeah. And it turns out that the old lady is not an old lady. She's this Incan queen that was in disguise. So she says, "You go ahead and if you think you can figure this out, go ahead and figure it out." So Dora...
Because Dora explains that she's not with them. She's not a treasure hunter. She's an explorer.
Right. So they, they take she grabs some water. And the one thing we desire most is water. So she pours some water into the offering cup. And then, of course, everything opens up. And we see all this stuff.
They see it.
Right.
I like how it's all their faces. I'm like, is this going to be a Pulp Fiction thing?
And that's what I was wondering. Yeah. I didn't want to interrupt the moment.
It's all glowing gold, and you never see it except for when they're running away. You see a big monkey in the background, right. But you actually never see the treasure.
I wanted to lean over to you and go, is this the briefcase?
Yeah. This is basically we don't want to animate all this treasure.
Yeah.
So you're imagining it's a huge glowing room of treasure, and that's that.
So then all of a sudden, Swiper. What a
swiper swipes. Swipe.
And so he takes the gold statue.
Was a lie.
Yeah. He takes the golden statue, and of course everything starts to crumble.
No, because it tells you in the beginning that it's all true except for the fox stuff.
That's a hurtful
stereotype.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they're running, of course everything starts collapsing and they're running away. And then somebody says Swiper, no swiping. And he's like, oh man. And he drops it. And I was like, well, at least they're playing by their rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's the rule in Dora, right? Is you say it three times and then finally he's just like, oh man.
Oh man.
I don't know what the rule is, but I'm just not really understanding that. I'm like, why did he drop it?
So
I think swipe it.
Well, I think in the show,
I think it was like,
if you caught him. Yeah.
If you caught him doing it while he was doing it, he would drop it.
But that's funny if you know the show then.
Yeah. The only reason I know that is because Kevin Smith talked about it.
Yeah.
Like he got blitzed one time and was watching Dora and was like, oh, man. Like, you said it three times. So they
and
Dora,
then she scoops up the gold monkey
and runs it back,
which would have to weigh about 700
easily.
Gold like, bar, you know what you think of as a classic gold bar? Yeah, like you see in like the one of those weighs about 30 pounds,
right?
Yeah.
So
I didn't say because I didn't want it, but I almost turned
you
to Brad
ruin
and
it
like,
for me.
Yes, I almost turned and I was like, do you know how heavy a solid gold? It's like they're not gold plating things back then. That's right. A solid gold monkey. Yeah. It would be like thousands of pounds probably, and she's just running with it. So, but kids movie,
kids movie. So she runs and she puts it back on its little pedestal and it does the Indiana Jones thing where it sinks in and then
and then this is the magic, like it, like the vines regrow, the city rebuilds itself.
Right.
So we never really got any magical element before, but this is a total.
They angered the gods when they took it and then they took off. So then everything goes back to normal. Dora, the Alejandro gets taken prisoner by the Incans. Dora goes, they have this little, you know, meeting where all the parents come back and they're kind of say the mom and dad tell Dora, like, we're going back to the jungle for whatever. And she's like, I think I'm going to stay and try to like learn more about these indigenous people.
Yeah. Cause this time they offer and they're like, and you're going with
us. And she's like, I don't think so. And then we get like, I do like that. They're just hamming this up. The two of them where it's just like, oh, she's growing up. I do like that. And then we go to a giant dance number.
Yeah.
Like, massive dance number. But it's like, if you listen to the lyrics,
it's all about what they did, which I'm guessing is a show element. They're singing about, we solved the thing. And
well, like, the one kid's like, he's got, like, a fungal rash.
Yeah.
Or Diego has dysentery.
It was very
Sammy
fun.
References her poo shovel.
Her poo shovel, yeah.
I mean, James Bobbin was a writer on Flight of the Conchords. Have you heard those songs?
Yeah. Sure.
Like, I mean, this is a total influence, again, from this guy that has written so many comedy songs and so many funny episodes of television. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it was very good. And that's kind of how we end. That's the
give me more freaking Dora adventures. Like,
based on the box office, I don't think
you're not
going to
get it.
That's
maybe
a shame.
I mean, maybe you'll get it on TV or something. I don't know. But
God,
she's going to grow up too. Like, they can't just recast her, can like?
I mean, they can. I don't think
can.
It's great.
It's not
of
like
ideas.
It's them pass laws or anything.
I know, but I mean, like,
she could play Dora for a while.
Like, I would like it to be her if they do it again.
I think they could use her again because she seems like a slight build. That,
she
like,
looks very young.
She could continue to play that age for a little bit. It's not like when you cast a 10-year-old. It's not like the problems that they're having with it.
Yeah.
Right, where some of those kids shot up like 7 inches
like
between
freaking
movies.
Jesse Bradford played a high school kid till he was 40.
Yeah.
Like,
you ever seen Grease?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I'm interested to see what that did they so with it, did they shoot all that kid stuff at
no.
one? Oh, so they're going to be older.
Yeah, and so they were
Finn,
they,
whatever his name is the kid that
Stranger Things.
Yes, yes.
Those kids shot up too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's I mean you could do that,
but at least
those kids are getting older.
Yeah.
Like
those
characters are getting older.
Isn't
they're going to have
set in
No,
oh,
but
they're
kid,
playing the kid character.
Yeah. Like the Finn Woodford is going to look like
Wolfhard.
Yeah,
Wolfhard.
They said they had some issues with some of them that had growth spurts.
How dare you grow?
Didn't they CG? Did they do like de-aging, right?
I don't know. Yeah.
They did.
They actually,
oh, did they really?
They actually
had to de-age the kids.
They had to de-age
one
or
two
of
them. Finn, as well.
Finn's the kid that grew up.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at him at Stranger Things season one, which is when, I guess it was when it came out.
Yeah.
And now look at where the kid's at. You're like, oh, well, all right.
Yeah. Remember Walt from Lost, how little he was? And
he
shot up to like
look
6
at Bran.
Feet in a couple of years.
Thank God Bran was in a chair for 8 seasons.
So there you go. There we go. So it was a ridiculously fun movie.
Brad, thank you. I would have never seen this without you encouraging us to, and I know it started off as a joke, but seriously,
it turned out
I
to be really
this
good.
Movie.
Yeah,
thanks
really
for having me on for it.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table, and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Brad. You can find me on ReviewSTL.com.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. Don't forget, while you're in front of your internet delivery device, to go find us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe. Rate and review, and of course check out our Patreon at patreon.com/real spoilers. So that's it for this one. Coming up next week, a pretty simple choice this
it's an
time,
easy one.
It chapter 2.
Oh, is that next week?
That's next week. So that's what you have to look forward
talk
to.
About a horror movie. Like, we've been talking about how some horror movies haven't been scary lately.
Yeah I
have a feeling this movie is going to be
it's
scary.
3 hours too,
and I'm thinking even more so since it's with adults now instead of kids. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time, Harriet is elected editor.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.